know a little bit about where I am. So this morning, I looked up the zip code that the church here is in. And the thing that amazed me is that well over 90% of the people in this zip code are white Americans. That's amazing to me. Because if you would look at my zip code, my children probably have more friends who are not white Americans than who are. If you could look at the zip code where I live, you would see a tremendous diversity in demographic. So lots of Russians, lots of Romanians, Ukrainians. And now, just within the last about 3 or 4 years, many, many Afghan people have moved into the area. Many African American. So probably as a white American, I may be a majority. But in the apartment complex where I live, I don't think white Americans would be a majority. Probably Afghan people. So that's something that is so interesting to me to think about this area. But the thing that I've realized is that no matter where we live or who we know, we still have neighbors. I have my neighbors, you have your neighbors, and we all together need Jesus. That has impressed me so much. With no matter where you go, there's a need for our neighbors, our friends, our family, our relatives to know Jesus. And that's what we're about. So I want to start off by telling a story to the children. So I wonder if I could have this front row. Maybe we'll have the children come up. If the children would come up and sit on this front row, please. We'll get as many of you up here as we can, at least. Oh, this is good. One of the things that I like about having a sister who's taught school for so many years is that she has a lot of the same things that I like to use for telling stories. Maybe I'll turn this just a little bit. There we go. Okay, can you all see it okay? All right. So the story I'm going to tell you about today is a story that involves a king. This man is King David. So I have a question for you. Do you remember hearing stories about King David? Mm-hmm. Was King David a good king or bad king? He was a good king. You're right. He was a good king. Who was king before King David? King Saul. Was King Saul a good king or bad king? At the beginning, he was a good king, but then you're right. At the end, he was not a good king. He was a bad king. So the story today is about after King David became king. Remember, he had a friend. Saul's son was his best friend. But Saul's son, Jonathan, had been killed in battle. And so when David became king, he couldn't get together with his friend because his friend had died. But he thought about it and he said, I wish that I could do some. My friend has died, but I wonder if there's anybody in his family who I could help with. And so he asked people who helped him. He said, is there anybody in Jonathan's family or anybody in Saul's family, especially Jonathan's family, who I could do something for? And they said, we heard that there's somebody. There is somebody. We'll ask somebody who should know. And so they got Ziba and they said, Ziba, what do you know about any of Jonathan's sons? And he said, yes, there is a son. But he said, this son, Mephibosheth, has a problem. Do you remember what Mephibosheth's problem was? You're right, he was crippled. Mephibosheth had a problem because he couldn't walk right, because when he was little, somebody who took care of him. They had to run because Saul was in trouble and people were coming after him, and they ran to get away, and his nurse dropped him and messed up his leg, and forever after that, he couldn't walk well. He was crippled. And King David said, well, I want to find this man. Bring Mephibosheth. Bring him here. And so they went and they called Mephibosheth. Now imagine how Mephibosheth feels. The king called him. Imagine it. It would be like you getting a phone call today and you would answer and say, hello? And they would say, this is President Biden from the White House. I want you to come meet with me. How would you feel? Would you be excited? Yeah, a little. Would you be scared? Mm-hmm. You'd be like, why does he want me to come here? Why? Like, did I do something wrong? Like, I don't understand. Well, I'll bet Mephibosheth felt the same way, except that he was also afraid because King Saul, his grandpa, had tried to kill David. So Mephibosheth is like, this might be the end of me. But when a king calls you, you have to go. You can't say, oh, I'm kind of busy. No, you have to go. And so they brought Mephibosheth in. And Mephibosheth was afraid. He was like, he's probably going to kill me just because my grandpa didn't like him. And David said, Mephibosheth, I have heard about you. And because I am a friend of Jonathan, because Jonathan was my good friend, I have some things for you. He said, I have a place here. He lived in a big palace. He said, I have a place in this palace where you are to live. Imagine, he's going to live in the White House. And he said, every evening when I eat dinner, I want you to eat dinner with me. So every evening, when King David was ready to eat dinner, he would sit down and he would say, where's Mephibosheth? You know what he would hear? He would hear, boom, 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 as Mephibosheth comes hobbling in to eat supper with him. And the next evening, he would hear Mephibosheth, boom, 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 coming in to eat dinner with him. The Bible says that Mephibosheth ate dinner with King David while King David lived at the palace. Now, you know, how many of you know someone who's crippled? Mm-hmm, a few of you. You know what? It's important. Just like King David was so kind to this man, to this crippled man. He didn't need to be kind to him, but he chose to be kind to him. Just like King David was kind to him, it's important for us to be kind to people who are, sometimes we have people, we learn to know people who are a little bit different than us. Some people might have different color skin than we have. Some people might even be in wheelchairs because they can't walk. Some people might have a hurt hand. Some people might look different. But it's important that we show respect and that we help them, just like King David showed respect and helped Mephibosheth. What are some things we can do? You know, I think about this sometimes. When I see somebody who's in a wheelchair, how many of you have seen somebody in a wheelchair? When you see somebody in a wheelchair and they want to go into a store, sometimes they have problems. What do they have? What's their problem that they have sometimes? They have a hard time opening the door because it's hard to sit and reach up and open the... Well, you know what? That's an opportunity that you can go and hold the door open for them. Sometimes there's things like that that they need help with. And just like King David helped Mephibosheth and was kind to him, God wants us to be kind to everybody. But especially, the Bible says, especially to those who are hurting. Those who have a problem. God wants us to be kind to them just like King David was kind. All right, so I have been doing Kids Club. I have been telling stories like this for 11 years. Every Saturday I tell a story. And we sing songs. I wonder if any of you know songs that we know. Do y'all know Jesus Loves Me? That's a song that we sing every week. Help me sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. But sometimes we sing some other, do you know songs with motions? Ooh, how many of you know He's Able? You know that song? Eric, do you and Kendra and Kenton want to come up here and help me with He's Able? Yeah, you know what? Let's stand down here. It's a little more room. Okay. Remember the motions? Okay. Ready? He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and he caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. All right, you can go back to your seats. Thank you. I love telling stories. I love telling Bible stories. I love hanging out with kids. So much fun. So as a little bit of a background, I grew up in Chestertown, Maryland, about an hour and a half from here. And I grew up on a dairy farm. I grew up milking cows. We had about 70 cows, a dairy. And now I live in the middle of a city. So I tell people that if God can take me to the city, there's hope for a few more of us. And I love the city. I love living in the city. I love the opportunities that living in the city gives me. You know, I'm not the kind of person, see, I'm not brave. It's a little bit hard when you're trying to learn to know people and trying to learn to know your neighbors. It's a little bit hard to, you know, drive out the lane, drive down, drive in your neighbor's lane, look around, where's the dog, you know, go, how do I open the gate, knock on the door. That takes guts. Well, see, I learned to know my neighbors because we walk down the same sidewalk. I learned to know my neighbors because we go out the same, you know, I go out my door and they're outside their door and I get to say hi to them. And I learned to know them that way and it's so much easier. I love living in the city because it gives me those kinds of opportunities. So when my wife and I got married, we met in Sacramento. I originally moved out there to teach school, taught school for 5 years, and then worked for Choice Books for the next about 10 years. And during that time, I learned to know my wife. We got married, and we moved into an apartment complex, and we started hanging out with the children around there. It's a picture of my wife and family. I am very happy that they get to be with me today. So that's a wonderful thing. This is a picture of our staff right now. A bunch of you, maybe not all of you, but quite a few of you probably would know this girl right here, Elizabeth Lloyd. Her father is a pastor, is one of the pastors at Charity. So we had two of our staff are from an old Brethren church in California. Then Elizabeth is from Pennsylvania here, and Mary is from Iowa. So we have been so blessed with the staff that's been there to help us. These are our board members, as was mentioned. I need to update this picture. Someday I'll put Yvonne in with Ernest. We do recognize that they're married. Byron and Bonnie here on the left, your right. We call them our staff grandparents. He's not actually on the board. But he is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And they're with the German Baptist community about an hour and a half from us. And so we call them our staff grandparents. They do so much for us, keeping us encouraged. I talk with Byron about every week. Just, you know, he's one of those people who knows something about helping people stay grounded, helping people stay in the place where they should be. They have been such a blessing to us. Well, before I go farther in talking about what we do, I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about why we do what we're doing. You know, when I moved into the apartment complex where we live now, I began to, my neighbors started teaching me things. And my neighbors taught me that I've been given so much. And I suspect there's some of you here who have been given a lot too. And I began to realize that God has given me so much. That's why I do what I do today. So I want to read from Matthew chapter 25. This is in the ESV. Matthew chapter 25. This is a familiar story. Story that you've heard often. For it, which is the kingdom of heaven, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, if we would stop right there and we didn't know the rest of the story, if we only knew that the king gave money to 3 servants, and we knew that 2 of them went and played the stock market, whatever they did, they invested their money. I don't know how safe their investments were, but we always know that investments aren't perfectly, absolutely secure. So I think I could read this and say, you know, this man who dug a hole and put the money in there, smart guy. This money's not going anywhere. Smart guy. But when we read the rest of the story, we realize the king didn't see it that way. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He was impressed. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Again, the master says, This is good. He also had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we see when we read this story, we realize that the king was not impressed with the man who dug a hole and hid the money. And I have, as I learned to know my neighbors, I began to realize that God has invested in me. And as God has invested in me, I have a choice to make in this. What I'm going to do with the investment that God invested in me. I can choose to dig a hole and bury it and keep it safe. Hey, this will keep it from getting away. It'll keep, you know, we can put walls around it. We're going to protect this thing that was given to us. But we also know that the king was not impressed with that happening. What he really wants me to do is the things that he gave to me, he wants me to invest in other people. To be able to say, here, I have something that God gave me. I want to share it with you. Here, I have something that God gave me. I'm going to share it with you. That's what God wants us to do. And I've realized as I learned to know my neighbors that I have been given so much in a number of areas, especially. One of the places I've been given so much is in relationship. You see, sometimes when I travel, here a few months ago, I ended up in Tennessee and knew almost no one. And I talked with someone, and they wanted me to speak at their church, and so I said, sure, I'd be willing to do that. And they said, well, when you get there, the door will be unlocked. Just come on in, make yourself comfortable. We might not be home, but make yourself at home, no problem. And I realized, you see, this man had never met me. But there's a relationship there because I know this person who knows this person who's a brother to this man. Here, a few years ago, I got a phone call from somebody, and they said, hey, somebody from Utah. He said, there's a group of guys coming through Sacramento. They need a place to stay for the night. Can they stay at your place? Well, I said, actually, we're on a trip. But I said, sure, they're welcome to use our house. We'll be gone. Just tell them to make themselves at home. Here's where you can get the key. And then I thought about it. I said, oh, I should let my neighbor know because she knew that we were going to be gone. So I called her and said, hey, Liz, just letting you know that we're gone, but there's somebody coming to stay at our house. Well, she said, what are their names? I said, I don't know. She said, you don't know their... I said, no, I don't know their names. I said, I'm a friend of somebody who knows them. She said, you're crazy. I said, probably, but I said, look, it'll be fine. Trust me. It'll be fine. I know the person who knows the people, and no problem. And you know what? I came back, and it was fine. There wasn't a problem. And three single guys stayed at our place. We weren't home, and I'd never met them, and I haven't met them since. But they stayed at our place. That's part of the gift that God has given me in relationships. Another part of a gift that God has given me in relationships has to do with family. You know, when I learned to know some of my neighbors, I asked them, you know, I asked, hey, Christmas is coming up. Are you getting together with family? No. What? I mean, you have family that lives close. Well, no, my uncle said the next time he sees me, he'd shoot me. And I realized the gift I've been given in relationships. The gift I've been given in family. The gift of coming all the way across the country and staying with my sister. I didn't worry about Ernest being upset at me last night. But you see, that's a gift that God gave me and gave a lot of you. What are you doing with that gift? Something else that God has given us is a work ethic. We know, you know, my neighbors don't understand how I know how to jump start their car. They're like, how do you know how to do that? I say, I don't know. I grew up on a farm. I just know. That's a gift that we've been given that we can invest in the people around us. Take those talents God gave you and invest them. Another talent is safety. One of the things that people ask me, they find out, oh, I live in a city. Well, is it safe? Well, safety is of the Lord. Let's start there. But I tell people that, you know, if I don't do drugs and I don't drink and I'm not idly standing on the street corner at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sleeping around, I'm just about as safe in the city as other people are in the country. Now, I realize I make a decision in whether or not I do these things like drugs. But I also realize that I was strongly impacted by my heritage. I've been given so much. You've been given a lot of those things, too. You have something to begin to give to other people. Something else that I learned in the area of safety. Are there any ladies here who are courting right now? Any ladies who are courting? All right. Is this your boyfriend beside you? That's good. Can I ask you a couple questions? I won't embarrass you, I promise. What's your name?
Barb.
All right. How long have you been dating?
A little over a year.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you, Barb. The first time what's your name?
Abram.
Okay, so the first time that Abram asked you out and you were going to get together and go out somewhere, did your mom come to you and say, here, take this pepper spray just in case you need it? You see, she says no. I asked my wife, hey, did you have to do that? And she said no too, and I'm glad. But you see, that's something that our neighbors think about. That's a gift that we've been given. See, Rosanna and I didn't grow up in the same community. I didn't know, you know, her relatives. It wasn't like we were closely connected. But that's something we've been given. That we have. I don't think we can underestimate what we have, what a lot of us have surrounding us that help us be grounded and keep us where we are. And that's such a beautiful thing that we have that we can then invest in other people around us. Something else that we've been given, a gift we've been given, is community. Oh, I love the church and the people that I... It's amazing how I can travel to so many places and learn to know people who probably know somebody, and it's just amazing. We have been given a gift in community that I think we forget about so often. But it's a gift that God gave us. And God gave us that gift for a reason. We've been given a gift in boundaries. A lot of us know something about saying no. Some of us need to work on that. I need to work on that sometimes in certain areas. But we've been given a gift in knowing something about boundaries. We've been given a gift in education. You know, I taught part-time in the public school out there for a while, and I realized that there's a big difference between that education and the education I grew up with. You see, growing up, there was all effort put forth in teaching you how to read. You learned how to read, unless it was just completely impossible. We need to recognize that the education, I know that I can probably call youth from almost any of our Anabaptist churches, and I can assume when they come to Sacramento that they know how to read and write and some things like that well. And they know something about children because children are such a part of our communities. Those are things, those are talents that we've been given, that I've been given. And I don't think God gave me those talents just because he was in a good mood that day. The Muslims are like, well, you know, if Allah's in a good mood today, he might let me into heaven. I don't think God gave me those talents just because he was in a good mood today and said, well, I guess I'll just give this guy this. No, he gave us these things. And then he said, okay, you choose. You choose. How are you going to use these talents that God gave you? And like the story says, we can choose to bury them or we can choose to share them. It is our choice. We get to decide. In my office in Sacramento behind my desk, I have this verse. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Because God gave me so much. And he expects me to be a good steward and be found faithful in those things. So people ask, who is Streetlight Christian Ministries? Well, I say it like this. Streetlight Christian Ministries is an Anabaptist urban ministry promoting life skills and biblical discipleship. We do that in these areas. We do that through Kids Club. We do that through a community garden, through fruit giveaway, through life skills classes, through children's tutoring, through English or ESL classes, through children's Bible classes, through adult Bible study. So just to give you a little bit of an idea, this is the community that I live in. The red line is around the apartment complex that Rosanna and I live in. There's a white arrow in there. You might be able to see that is the building where Rosanna and I live. Now, you have to understand, we live in an apartment. So when I come home, I go in this door. Well, right above me up here is where one of my neighbors lives. And right over here is another door. This is where my neighbor lives. And right up here is another door. This is where my neighbor lives. And I walk out, and right here is my sidewalk. And I, right across on the other side of the sidewalk is where my neighbor lives. And, you know, then above her is where my neighbor lives. And I can walk down the sidewalk this way. And right over here is where my neighbor lives. And, you know, then just this way, this is where my neighbor lives. And I can, and it's just all over the place. Inside that red line represents, inside that red line is about 33 acres. Inside that red line, there are over 2,000 people who live there. Now, I want you to imagine if the 33 acres next to you were all of a sudden turned into an apartment complex. There's a man who lives just outside the complex, and I was talking with him the other day. He said, I remember when this whole area was wheat fields. I'm like, imagine if the wheat field that I grew up, you know, next to, all of a sudden somebody came in and just tore it all out and decided to put in apartments and moved in 2,000 people. So the other thing that I learned to know when I was looking at your zip code is you've got about 310 people per square mile. Anybody want to guess how many people per square mile are in the zip code I live in? I live in the 95842 zip code. It has 8,121 people per square mile. So we're a little bit more urban than what you have right here. But I've realized that even though I live, the place that I live is looks a little bit different than here. We all know neighbors. We all have neighbors. How many of you don't have a neighbor? See? You all have neighbors. And just like God has given me neighbors, God has given you neighbors. So welcome to Logan Park Apartments, an apartment complex with over 2,000 people. When we first moved in, a lot of single moms, it's low-income housing, so a lot of single moms, a lot of African-American people. And when we moved in, we just wanted to learn to know the community. So when we moved in, we knocked on our neighbor's door and said, hey, we'd like to have you over for dinner. And it's amazing. Oh, you should do that. So much fun. We've had people, we invite people over and they come in and they're like, oh, we're so excited. We've never been somewhere except like family, except my mom's house. We've never been invited somewhere. This is so exciting. They love it. Now, how many places have you been invited to and you've gone and visited with people? Oh, I couldn't begin to count them all. But you see, that's a gift God gave us. Use that gift. This is a picture of the office where we live. Palm trees are certainly a thing in Northern California where I live, in a lot of places in California. This is a building in the apartment complex. You get to see Sacramento is a sprawling city because there's so much room. You take a place like Los Angeles or San Francisco, and there's water around it. They can't spread out. Sacramento's not that way. We've got rice fields just outside of Sacramento. So when Sacramento needs more room, they just build out. And so there's not a lot. In downtown, there's a few skyscrapers. But in general, we just spread out. So a lot of the apartments are two-story, things like that. One of the things that our apartment complex has is lots of parks, swimming pools for the children. And so we're kind of the big complex in the community. So there's people from other communities that come over here to hang out in our apartment complex. This is the space that we rent for our classes. It's just within walking distance. I walk to work every day. I love that. And one of the reasons we really wanted to do that is there's numerous of our neighbors who don't even have vehicles. So we knew if we want to be able to help them, we want to be able to be involved there, we're going to have to be able to have things within walking distance. Our German Baptist friends did so much work in helping getting that space ready for the lamppost that it is today. But like I was mentioning, we invited our neighbors over. And after we were done eating supper, I said, so it was a single mom with three children. I said, do you guys know how to play Monopoly? Oh, yeah. Well, I said, let's play. So we get out of the Monopoly game. And at the end of the evening, I told them, I said, I work. See that truck out there? I drive that truck. It's a choice book. It says choice books on the side. I deliver books. And I said, I often leave early in the morning, but I get home about the time you get home from school. So I said, when you get home, come knock on my door. And if I have time, I'll play games with you. And so they did. And then I said, well, you guys, there's more than just you guys who live around here. Invite your friends over. And so they did. And Rosanna would pop popcorn, and we'd have popcorn, and we'd have smoothie, and we'd play games. Oh, there were countless games that I played on our living room floor. And they invited their friends, and then their friends invited their friends, and their friends invited their friends. And all of a sudden, almost every evening, our apartment was just loaded. It was so much fun. Oh, Rosanna would play games with them, and I'd play games with them, and they'd come over right after school. And we had so much fun with those kids. So eventually we told them, we said, well, we want to start telling Bible stories. So we said on Saturdays, you're welcome to come over anytime, but on Saturdays at 3 o'clock, we want you to especially come over because we want to start telling Bible stories. And so they did, and we started doing projects with them. And if you look close here, there's a tractor hanging out in there somewhere. And you know, Larry here becomes a good salesman for me. Because when he leaves my house and he walks down the sidewalk with this, what happens? You know, somebody else is like, hey, where'd you get that? Well, just over here. I want one. Well, go knock on their door. And so they did. And, you know, we think sometimes that as adults, I mean, we kind of have things together. We don't have a network when it comes to children. Word gets around. They communicate better than we do in a lot of things. Well, how many people can you fit in a one-bedroom apartment? There is a limit. You can do quite a few if you do it right, but there is a limit. And eventually we realized we were hitting that limit, but we were having so much fun. The last project that we did for Kids Club in our apartment, we made dolls taking a sock and putting rice in it. And I picked up rice in my house for weeks afterwards. But we had so much fun with these children. And so I picked up the phone and I called. There in the complex where we live, there's a community building. And I had learned to know the lady who was in charge there. So I picked up the phone and called her and said, "Hey, this is what we're doing. So we're having the kids come over to our apartment. We're having a lot of fun. We're starting to do things on Saturday. Any chance that we could use this space? Like, I don't know. How can we, like, be involved here?" And she said, "Oh, that's perfect." She said, "I've dreamed of having the community help the community." So she said, "Tomorrow you come down after work and I'll get you to sign papers. You can be on our insurance. I'll give you keys. Saturdays, there's nothing planned. You do whatever you want." So the next day I went down there, signed my name 2 times. She gave me keys and said, "Do whatever you want. Have a great time." And that was just such a gift for us, because it's so hard. I don't know if it's worse in California. Sometimes it seems like it is, but there's just so much red tape. And just the fact that I could walk down there and just walk in and walk out with keys. We used this building for so many years. It was such a blessing. But, you know, God just opened that door so amazingly. And so on a given Saturday, you might see this many children waiting outside. You might see 5 times this many children. Just all depends on the weather and who's around and what's going on. But, you know, when you start doing projects with children, there's no end to what you can do. There's so many things you can do with children. And it's so much fun. And as you learn to know the children, then you can learn to know the parents. As you learn to know the parents, then you start to learn about the problems. As you learn to know the problems, you have opportunity to speak into different people's lives. How many of you have made ice cream in a Ziploc bag? Oh, you poor people. There's a whole bunch of you that haven't. That's one of the small joys that you should experience in your life. So you take a Ziploc bag and you put the ingredients in for ice cream. Then you zip it shut and you drop it into a bigger Ziploc bag and you add salt and ice. And then you shake it. And the salt and ice mixture allows the ice cream to freeze. It allows the temperature to go low enough that the ice cream can freeze. And it's so much fun. So it's sort of like a science experiment. But the children are just, "Look, Mr. Laverne, this stuff's getting hard. What's happening?" And it's so much fun to be able to experience that through the eyes of children. We do it on the tennis court. It makes a salty, watery mess. But it's so much fun. And then I get to tell Bible stories. I get to sit down with them and say, "So what's going on with you this summer?" See, a lot of these children, especially the ones that we knew at the beginning, single moms in the summer, they go spend time with their grandma or with their dad, things like that. And I get to say, "You know, what are you doing this summer? Where are you going? How are things going in your life? How's your mom?" And, you know, the other thing that I love about living in an apartment complex is, guess what? I know all my neighbor's address. If I know their apartment number, I know their address, because all of our addresses are exactly the same except for the apartment number. So if I learn to know one of these children, I say, "Hey, what apartment do you live in?" He tells me, I know exactly where he lives, and I can, and when Christmas time comes around, I can make sure, say, "Hey, this guy's been a little bit of a problem at Kids Club. Let's make sure we take cookies to his mom." And I learn to know his mom. And I learn to know what makes this family tick. And when it comes to baking cookies, see, that's something else that's a strong thing in our culture. A lot of you ladies know something about cooking. That's a strong thing in our culture. Use your strength. Why not? You've learned how to cook. Use your strength to bless others. One of the things that we do every year at Kids Club is we buy the supplies that are needed to put school kits together for Christian Aid Ministries. And then when we're finished doing that, I get to sit down with these children and say, "So guys, see, they all believe they're victims. You should feel sorry for me. I live in low-income housing. You should feel sorry for me. You know, I may be a single mom. Maybe I don't have a dad. Maybe I don't have, You should feel sorry for me. Poor me, I'm a victim. Well, the thing that I love about doing something like this is that when we're finished doing school kits, I can sit down and show them pictures of where these school kits are going and say, does your school have bullet holes in the walls like this school in Syria? Does your school have dirt floors like this school in Haiti? You see, we have been given so much by living here in the United States. And the other thing is, you can actually help people in other countries. There was a time when it was difficult to help people in other countries. It's still not the easiest thing, but we have access to so many different places that are sending aid around the world. We have access to those places, and we can help others. You are not a helpless victim. You can help other people, and you can make a difference in other people. Singing songs together, having a snack together. You know, one of the things, it's amazing to me how that God has a way of getting your attention when he needs you to pay attention. Here a few years ago, I was in, I do a few recording projects sort of as a hobby. And somebody had called me, Chris Stolzfus had called me and said, hey, so we're having this thing called Muslim Impact Training, and I'd like for you to do the recording there. So I flew in and did the recording for him. And I remember thinking, you know, I love what God is doing in Muslims around the world, but that'll never be us. See, we work with African Americans. We work with a lot of single moms. We will never be involved in that kind of thing. And that's okay. It's just the difference in where you are. And I went home, and the next Saturday after I got home, there were Afghan children at Kids Club. And I said, where did you guys come from? What are you doing here? We live here. I said, you've got to be kidding. And God got my attention. And today, if there's, and nobody could have guessed at that point that Afghanistan would fall off the rails like it is today, and that the immigrants would flood in like they have in the last few years. And it has just completely changed, pretty strongly changed the demographics of right where we live. And I love that. I just love the people. I had so much fun with the African Americans, with the single moms, and there's still a bunch of those that we know, and I love them. We now have opportunities to hang out with a lot of people from Afghanistan. I love those people. They're so much fun. Well, God has his way of getting our attention and of telling, you know, at the beginning, we tried so hard to learn to know people, to connect with people, and then one day I was driving, I was working, and my phone rings, and I answered, and it's a lady who was in charge of the Life Center where we were having Kids Club, and she said, hey, do you and Rosanna know how to garden? Well, it's kind of a random question. I said, my mom had a garden when I was growing up. You know, I wouldn't say I have green thumbs, but yes, I know something about gardening. She said, you seem like the kind of people who would know how to garden. Now, why would she say that? But she said, the apartment complex where you live, there's an empty space, and the manager wants a community garden. But she said, we looked through our whole organization, and we've never been able to find anybody. You need to go talk to this guy. So I had met him before. I went down and knocked on the door and said, so Mr. Warren, what is this thing about a garden? He said, if I pay for it, would you make a garden for me? I said, maybe. Like, what do you want? He said, I don't care. Whatever you want. You decide what would look nice. You decide how you would put it together. You go to the store and buy it. I'll pay for it. Good. So today I have a community garden. You see, it's another thing, another gift that God gave me. We know something, a lot of us know something about gardening. It's a gift God gave us that we can use to bless others. I walked out of that meeting and I called my friend in the German Baptist community and said, Thomas, I know something about gardening. I know a little bit about gardening. Thomas is a real gardener. I'm somebody who gardens because it gives me a chance to hang out with the children. Thomas is a real gardener. I said, Thomas, you're going to have to help me. I don't know how to garden in California. Because I said, in Maryland, we planted and we prayed that it would rain. Well, he said, praying is a great idea. But he said, if you don't do a little more than that, you might have a problem. Because you see, in Sacramento, it doesn't rain typically from about May to September, October. We don't get any rain. We live in more of a desert area. So he came up and he taught me how to put drip irrigation in. We learned how to hook up so many different things like that. And then we started inviting the children and started inviting the parents. And you know, it really is, it's so much fun to experience a garden through the eyes of the children. You know, they're just like, look, Mr. Laverne, it's like it's coming up. Look, and if you think about it, have you ever thought about how amazing an ear of corn is? Mr. Laverne, we put this tiny little thing in the ground. And look, wow, and oh, there's so many analogies you can take from that to our lives, to helping other people, to spreading the gospel. The Bible talks about those things. But it's so much fun to experience through the eyes of children. And a cornfield, oh, I'm just enough of a farm boy that a nice field of corn is still just hard to beat. But inviting the community, it's a lot of fun to have them come in. At the end of the garden, we always have a party for the community. Anybody's welcome to come, and we make hamburgers and hot dogs, and they come down and they get to experience things, you know, right from the garden. And it's so much fun. It's another opportunity that we have with our neighbors. Fruit is something I never thought that I would get into either. You see, so many of these things were about taking the opportunities that God gave us. When we were first married, we spent time praying. We said, God, we want to do anything. We want to do whatever we can for you. But especially, we prayed for this community. Said, God, we really want to be involved in this community. And God answered those prayers so amazingly. We told, when we first started doing Kids Club at the Life Center, I told the children, I said, we don't want you to stop coming to our house. We still want you to come. But I said, it was about that time that Rosanna was pregnant with Eric. And I said, you know, there's some things that are going to have to change. You're not going to be able to always be in our house all the time. And when they found out that Rosanna was pregnant, they, in one group, they said, no, that is not okay. I said, why? What's the... They said, you won't have time to spend with us then. I said, I don't think that's true. I said, it might have to change a little bit, but I said, I don't think that's completely true. And so I told them, I said, you come and you knock on my door at the end, when you come home from school, and if I have fruit, I'll give you fruit. And so they did. And you know, it's amazing how many people, you can ask Rosanna about this. This is, she is most of the time at home, and after school from 3 to 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, we probably give out, we might give out 100. We've even given out as much as 150 servings of fruit in an afternoon. You know, it's a great way to learn to know the community. A new person moves in with several children. The children are hanging out with the other children, and they're like, let's go get some fruit. And they go over, and they're like, how does this work? Well, you ring the doorbell. And the fruit lady comes out, and she gives you fruit. And, you know, it's amazing how many people, they don't know our names, but they know the fruit lady. Or in some cases, they know Miss Rosanna, but then they come down to Kids Club or somewhere, and they're like, oh, you're Mr. Rosanna. I said, that's right, I'm Mr. Rosanna. That's something else that I love about living where we do. You see, the community learns to know all of us. when I have kids that come to some of my classes, I show them pictures of my wife and my children, and oh, it's Miss, oh, we know her, she's the fruit lady. And yeah, we've met your kids. And it's so much fun because we become part of the community. You learn to know families that way. So, as you can imagine, there was a group of girls who came to Rosanna several years ago and said, Miss Rosanna, you make the best food. Can you teach us how to cook? Well, you see, it's a strength that we have in our culture. Cooking class is an amazing thing to do. You can teach so many things. See, you can go far outside of what food is, too. You can also say, okay, see, this is all made out of Play-Doh. You can ask them, hey, is this a balanced meal? Well, what do you think? Does this look balanced? Probably has a few issues. Well, you can talk about that. And then you can say, okay, here are the ingredients. Now make a balanced meal and tell me why it's balanced. And what colors go together? How do we make these things look nice? You see, I'm not a big salad eater, but I've seen salads that I say, that's a good looking salad, even though I don't really want to eat it. It looks nice. You see, that's the interesting thing with food. And at the end, they all have to come to our house and make a recipe, mix up a recipe themselves without any help to show that they understand. Because you see, you have to know the difference. If you're going to do cooking, you have to know the difference between 1/4 and 1/2. And if I'm doubling this recipe and it calls for 1/4, how much do I need? You see, there's things like that that are kind of important. And then we have a banquet together and we invite the children's parents. And we get to sit down with a lot of these people and talk with them, visit with them, learn to know more about their families and what's going on. Well, you can imagine at the end of a class like that, the next day these girls are going to come over and knock on the door and say, Miss Rosanna, what else do you know how to do? We want to learn something else. Well, see, a lot of you ladies know how to sew, too. Use that. That's a gift God gave you. That's a talent that God gave you for a reason. Use it to help your community, to be involved in your community. The thing that's neat about a sewing class is sewing is a quiet thing. And you get to talk. You know, it's amazing the questions that come up when you're sitting there sewing. The questions that these girls ask about different things. It was one year we had a couple that was out doing some intern work. They were there for 5 weeks. And this man's a real carpenter. He knows how to build houses. And so we made bird feeders with a bunch of the children. You know, it's so much fun. If you've never taught a 9-year-old who's never seen a hammer or a nail before how to hold them and how to pound them in, you should do that. That's so much fun. And it's not the easiest thing. How do you hold this thing so that you get it pounded in right, but you don't hurt yourself in the process? Yeah, it's a little complicated. But bird feeders are something else that is a lot of fun to be able to do with community. A lot of you guys, I'm guessing, know more about building houses than I do. You see, that's a strength. Use that strength. One of the things that bothered me so much as I learned to know the community, see, as someone who taught school for a number of years, I care about education. It's important to me. It bothered me that there's so many children here who are in 4th or 5th grade and have never learned to read and write. What are their chances? You know, it's not going to be easy for them. So we started doing some tutoring, started learning to know. Some of the children we already knew, we said, hey, you're struggling in school. We can tell. Come down once a week. We want to get together. We're going to help you work on your reading, going to help you work on your writing, math, things like that. Well, it was about the same time that we started learning to know, started doing tutoring with some of these children. It's about the same time that the Afghan people started moving in. And we realized these people need help. They are struggling. They just, you know, a lot of the people that we, a lot of the Afghans we work with were middle to upper class in Afghanistan. They come over here and they're starting at zero and know nothing. We started working with some of their children. And I realized that we can actually start having classes and teach more of the, especially these children who need to learn how to speak English. They have a need that goes far beyond learning how to read and write. They need to learn how to speak. We started holding classes with some of them. And about the time that we started doing some of that tutoring, one of the dads came to us and said, "You're helping our children learn English, but what about my wife?" See, he knew English. A lot of them have worked with the U.S. military. That's their ticket to come here. So they know, a lot of the guys know how to speak English. But he said, "My wife cries all day, every day in our apartment because she doesn't know it. She has no friends. She can't drive. She can't speak to anyone. She knows no one. She cries all day. Can you please help us?" I'm telling you, that tears at your heart. So we had a girl who was from Kansas who was helping us, and I just took it to her. I said, "I don't know that I have time, but I said, do you want to try this?" Besides that, it's a group of ladies. I said, "This just, it feels like something that maybe we should try." And she said, "I'd like to try it." So I went down to the local college and took pictures of all their textbooks, all their English textbooks, and started making phone calls and called publishers and said, I don't know how to teach English to adults. I know what it is with children. What's the best thing to use? And I started meeting with publishers and sat down with them and said, "I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing." And one of the men was a Seventh-day Adventist man. He told me, he said, "Try this, do this." And he was such a blessing to us. He told me one time, I told him, I said, "Look, you give me too much time." I said, "We don't buy nearly enough for you to put this much time into it." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "When I come here," he lived outside of Sacramento. He said, "When I come to Sacramento, I meet with the big guys, the school districts." He said, "That's my work. But when I come over to the lamppost, that's when I play." And he was so fascinated by what we were doing. Helped us so much. Well, you know, when you don't always know exactly what you're doing, you don't always know exactly how to do it, you just try things sometimes. So I bought a few textbooks, and I bought a whiteboard, and we leaned it up against the wall, and there were several single girls who were living in an apartment, and we just leaned it up against their wall, and they invited any of the Afghan ladies who were interested, and you know, there were about three of them who lived in the apartment complex where we live. And they came and they wanted to learn. And you know, we were in the middle of renovating the space that we are renting now. And it seemed like a real inconvenience to have to use the apartment floor because this building wasn't quite ready. But you know, that has been turned out to be such a blessing to us. Because now we spend a lot of time in these people's homes because it started that way. They'd come over to Miss Heidi's home for class. And then they'd say, "Well, let's have class at my house. Then we can drink tea together." And because of that, we'd have classes. But our teachers also go into their homes to teach and to tutor, and to help them with things that are kind of mundane to us, maybe. You know, so a teacher goes into the home, and they bring the mail, and they say, "Teacher, what does this mean?" You open it up, and it says, "Congratulations, you've won $1.5 million. And they're like, "That's a lot of money." I'm like, "Look, you need to understand. I don't know how to explain sweepstakes, but this is junk. You don't want it. Don't do anything with it. Throw it away. But a lot of money. It's not money. Trust me. It's saying things that it's not delivering. And things like that. You know, imagine how lost you'd be if you moved to a country, a brand new country, didn't know anything about their customs or their language or their culture, and you're just trying to learn for the first time. Well, none of us knew when we started working with those three ladies that Afghanistan would end up where it was today. And all of a sudden, as more people came over, there were more people who wanted to come to class. And then when Afghanistan completely went off the rails and people were desperately getting out, they flooded into Sacramento because there were already some Afghans there. And all of a sudden, we had so many people who wanted to be in class. And then the lady said, but we have a baby. Like, do you offer childcare? And we said, yeah, we'll offer childcare. See, we know something about taking care of children. Something else that God gave us. We started doing babysitting while the moms are in class. And you know, it's amazing when you open yourself up and are willing, the things that God gives to you. The only reason that our numbers aren't higher for this year, we've turned more Afghan. Well, and now we're starting to work with the Ukrainians. See, they're the new wave that's coming in. We've turned more people, more students away this year than ever before who need to learn English because they're hurting. And that's the time to learn to know them. When they have first come, they're trying to figure out what's going on. Oh, that's the opportunity. And guess what? You all happen to speak English, just like I do. It's another gift. Children's Bible class every Wednesday afternoon. I dreamed for years of having Bible classes. And working with the Life Center, they were a Christian ministry, but they said, we don't push Christian. Like, you're doing academic activities, that's great. But Christian, and I dreamed for years of being able to have our own Bible classes. Today, that is a reality because we're renting our own space. Adult Bible study every Sunday afternoon at 2:30. We invite anyone who's interested in learning to know more about God. And you know, it's not a lot of people. And that's okay. I don't know that I want a lot of people, but it's an opportunity. You see, I get to sit with these people and talk about what God says and help them figure out how to apply it to their situation. And then I can take the children and go do something with them while Rosanna can pray with the moms. They can talk about things that are on their hearts. We have met in the park sometimes because of COVID and things like that. Well, the interesting thing in so many of these things is you see there's a lot of things that we do over and over and over, and things like teaching English, things like teaching these children how to read and write. We have class over and over and over, you know, every once a week, okay, they're coming, or twice a week, or four times a week, however it's structured. And sometimes it just feels like, you know, I have to plan for another class, for another. But, you know, then there are things that happen along the way, like when I'm getting ready for a math class, and okay, this students come in and we get started with our math lesson. And right in the middle of math class, one of the boys says, "What are you?" I said, "Well, I'm an American. Like, I'm not, what are you?" Well, he said, "There's Muslims and there's Jews and there's Christians. What are you?" I said, "Well, I'm a Christian." He had never met a Christian before. He said, "So my dad said that if you're a Christian, you go to hell." I said, "I understand." I said, "I disagree, but I understand." I said, "So you're a Muslim, yeah?" "Yeah, I'm a Muslim." I said, "Okay." So he got started asking questions. See, he'd never met a Christian before. So he wondered about what I believe, and I started asking him questions, and he had things to say, and he said, so I'm a Muslim. If somebody wants to become a Muslim, they just say these words, and he said them, and then they're Muslim. He said, what about for you? How do you become a Christian? Well, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than just saying, you know, these 15 words and then it's all done. So I told him, I said, well, we read the Bible. You read the Quran, we read the Bible. I said, you must believe the Bible and obey it. Believe that the Bible is true. And I said, you have to believe that Jesus is God. And you have to tell him that you're sorry for the things you've done wrong. Well, as soon as I said, you have to believe that Jesus is God, he said, oh, no, I can't believe that. You see, for a lot of these people, they're just like, well, we'll just be both. Well, no, you can't be both. Because to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is God. He's God's son. Well, he said, no, I can't believe that. He said, like, my dad said, if you believe that, like, you go to hell. I said, I understand. I said, I disagree, but I understand. And I said, I respect your dad for teaching you these things. Well, see, the interesting thing is I know his dad. I've met him on different occasions. His mom, this boy's mom is in class, coming to class. And it's actually, I think she is one of them who wanted to sign up and there wasn't space. But see, I know these people. Besides knowing these children, I know their parents. It's so interesting. He came a couple weeks later and he said, do you have a Bible? I said, yeah, do you want to see one? Yeah, I've never seen a Bible. So I got to show him, this is what a Bible looks like. And this is a blue one and this is a pink one. Some people like it in blue. Some people like it in pink. And I opened it up and I said, see inside these words that are in red? These words are the words that Jesus said. He didn't want to touch it. No, I don't. I said, do you want to hold it? No, I don't want to hold it. I don't want to touch it. I said, would you like a Bible? Oh, no, my dad wouldn't let me have a Bible. I said, I understand. But he wanted to see a Bible. You know, we are so used to seeing Bibles, we take them for granted all the time. This was the first time this young man had ever seeing a Bible or had ever met a Christian. Now think of the responsibility that I also have because of that. See, I'm the Christian to him. Amarion came bouncing into tutoring one day, and he sat down, and the first thing he said, he was with one of the other teachers, first thing he said is he said, so do homosexuals go to hell? Well, what do you think? Do they? You believe it's wrong, don't you? Well, you know, I have the opportunity to tell Amarion, I thought our teacher did such a good job of saying, Amarion, it's wrong. But your mom, God loves your mom. And God cares about your mom. And God doesn't want your mom to go to hell. Yes, it's wrong. But God doesn't want your mom to go to hell. Because there's forgiveness. Your mom can ask God, and he will forgive her. This family came to class for a while. Our classes were full, and they really, really wanted help. And so I started working with them as a family. And, oh, this man's so much fun. He's worked in maintenance now in the apartments where we live. But when I learned to know him, he tried so hard. He knows so little English, but he tried so hard. And one day I just asked him, I said, so when you come to USA, did you come to California? No. We get big airplane. We land. I said, Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. Virginia. I said, did you stay at a military base? Like, did you go to house or... No, military, so Marines, so much military. And he showed me pictures of the Marine base that they were housed in Virginia. And then he said, then after finished there, then big airplane, land Sacramento, and drive now my house. And you know, it's so neat. And the thing that's amazing is when they were in Virginia, the military base that they were on, my brother lives in Virginia, and his family and the church there was involved in helping some of the refugees, some of the Afghans on that military base. It's quite possible they may have seen this family. Parties are so much fun. With the ladies love parties. So much fun to have parties with them and show them, you know, help them see their culture and help them see our culture. Say, in our culture, this is a little bit what a party would look like. But we love your culture too. For a while during COVID, I had a men's class, and some of the guys found out, you grew up on a dairy farm? We want to see a dairy farm in the United States. Because in Afghanistan, you had to be careful where you bought your milk from, because everybody put water in the milk to make it more before they sold it. We want to see a dairy in the United States. So I made some phone calls and found out one of my German Baptist friends raised hay, and he knew somebody who had a robotic dairy. So I enjoyed this field trip as much as they did. But we went down and got to visit, and oh, they enjoyed, they had so much fun. And then when we left, we're driving home, and they're just talking. They're just talk. And I'm like, guys, what are you saying? I can't understand. What did you think? Like, what do you think of a dairy in the United States? You've never seen one before. And one of the guys said, so nice. Green grass, space for children, no problem, no neighbors, nice, I like it. And one of the other guys said, yes, nice, but smells so bad. And I said, you're not lying. There's truth there on both sides, probably. But you know, one of the things that I've realized, how many of you are familiar with the 1040 window? Okay, a lot of you. I grew up praying for the 1040 window. And when I prayed for the 1040 window, I always thought of God opening doors so that we can go there. God opening the doors so that we can go to these closed countries. And you know, a lot of those countries, there's amazing numbers of those countries that are open today that weren't. But I believe that my neighbors, my Afghan neighbors, are part of God's answer. I believe that God not only opened doors over there that we never would have expected, he also brought them right here. And now he's like, you ask. I went above and beyond. I not only opened the door, I brought them right here. They're your neighbors now. Now, what are you doing about this? You prayed for it. You asked me. What are you doing about it? And I'm amazed at how many places there are Afghans that God has opened that door for us in ways we never expected. But no matter whether it is African Americans or Afghans or white people or Syrians or Ukrainians, Romanians, Russians, or just down-to-earth farmers, we all have our neighbors. This is a little bit of what we're doing with our neighbors. But you've been given neighbors too. What are you doing with those opportunities that God gave you with your neighbors right here next to you? There's a table in the back with newsletters. Please feel free to pick those up. There's prayer cards back there. We have pictures of a bunch of the children that come to Kids Club. You know, how do you pray for 200, 300 children that you know? Maybe more than that. It's hard. So one of the things that I do is take these prayer cards and say, hey, feel free to pick those up. Take them home. Put them on your fridge. Pray for these guys. I wish I had more candy. There's not too much out there. So maybe limit it to one piece each. But children, you should make sure that you get a chance at a piece of candy back there. And, you know, even for some of us as adults, we enjoy that every once in a while, too. Now, something else that we're doing today for something different is we have little cups out there with the tea that a lot of the Afghans drink. So feel free when you come out there to grab a cup and get a chance to drink a little bit of tea like the Afghans drink. Needs. We are looking for a couple this summer or fall. We feel like we've learned to know a lot of children and have worked with a lot of the moms. There's a lot of the dads who say, we would come to class if you had evening class. Well, I don't know how to have a full schedule and then every evening besides that have class with these guys. So we'd really like to find another couple that could come where the man could teach English. We need to learn to know more of these men. And an opportunity then to invite them into their homes. Learn to know these men. Thank you for allowing me to be here. It's been a blessing to us. God bless you, the things that God has given you. Are there questions I can answer?